gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and straightway the Spirit driveth him forth into the wilderness. It is written, and straightway they left the nets and followed him. It is written, and they go into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. It is written, and the report of him went out straightway everywhere into all the region of Galilee round about. It is written, now Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and straightway they tell him of her. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Even as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Amid the storms and doubts of unbelief we fear, stands a book eternal that the world holds dear. Through the restless ages it remains the same, 'tis the book of God, and the Bible is its name. 'Tis the book that tells us of eternal life, after faithful service in a world of strife. And this glorious triumph over death's dark fears is the world's best gift in an age of countless tears. Oh, the old book and the old faith are the rock on which I stand. The old book and the old faith are the bulwark of the land. Through storm and stress they stand the test, in every clime and nation blessed. The old book and the grand old faith are the hope of every land. Now, ladies and gentlemen, from the book of Mark, chapter 1, the message is straightway. The first statement in the book of Mark states, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word gospel means good news. All good news is not the gospel, but the gospel is always good news. It is the best news a human being can hear any place in this world at any time in history, past, present, or future. It is the best news a person can hear at a time when the doctor informs you that you have a terminal disease. It is the best news you can hear at a time when the nation is going to war. It is the best news you can hear at a time of death. The name of Jesus is the last name the Christian can say with his dying breath that will give him peace. A man driving past my home hit a tree head-on and was thrown into a nearby cornfield. I stood over his inert body, and he opened his eyes. I asked him, are you a Christian? He said, yes. If he was, he was a drunk one. The ambulance came, and he died before they could get him to the hospital 20 minutes away. A person might say, why did you ask such a question? I don't know. Why, except that when a person is standing at the gates of death, the only thing that matters is his relationship with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel is always the preaching of the best news the world has ever known. The first chapter of the gospel according to Mark begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. John had a glorious ministry as the forerunner of the Lord. He introduced Jesus to the multitudes with the loud clarion call, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He made it clear that Jesus would increase and he would decrease. John said that he was not worthy to stoop down and unloose the shoes of Jesus. He was humble. The most humble task performed in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ is a great honor. John could agree with the psalmist, "It is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea the message of repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, if I had been in charge of arranging John's speaking engagements, and I knew that he had this big sermon on repentance, I would have advised him to preach that sermon someplace else. Go to Rome or Corinth, but not here in Jerusalem. This is the holiest place in the world. The temple is here. Every Friday evening, everything shuts down for the Sabbath. Nobody plays the ponies. All the theaters are closed. All the games are called off. Post office and the banks are closed. Yet, of all places, John came into this place preaching on repentance. I take a page from the notes of sermon that John preached and declare unto you that today we need to preach the message of repentance in the holiest place of all, namely the meeting houses of the churches of Christ. There is no place where people need to hear the message of repentance more than no place today where they are hearing it less. Repent ye. John would not live long enough to hear Jesus say, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He wouldn't live long enough to see the church of Christ established on the day of Pentecost. He would not live to see the glorious events of the early church. His ministry was short, perhaps a little more than a year at most. It is not how long we serve, but how true to God's word that matters. The first chapter of the Gospel of Mark is a chapter where the word straightway plays a prominent part. 11 times in this chapter, the word straightway is mentioned. It seems that everything that is done in this chapter is done straightway. The first straightway is in regards to the baptism of the Lord. We read that when Jesus was baptized, he came up straightway out of the water. The heavens rent asunder, and the Spirit as a dove descended upon him. Here is a place where we find all three members of the Godhead in one place. God the Father speaking from heaven, God the Holy Spirit descending as the form of a dove, and God the Son in the water. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven in the form of a dove. This reminds us that when God destroyed the world by a flood, and God's judgment of sin was over, as the waters began to abate, Noah sent for the dove out of the ark, and the dove returned with an olive branch in her mouth. This signified that Noah had found peace with God. Remember that Peter makes a comparison of baptism with the flood of Noah's day, which also he said, "After a true likeness doth now save you, even baptism, not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answering of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers made subject unto him." Here is a personal note about my own baptism when I was a young child of about 10 years old. I had just read this event in Mark, and I thought as I came up out of the water that I too would see a dove flying overhead. During the baptism, I got a mouthful of water and strangled a little bit, and I forgot all about that dove. But ladies and gentlemen, the dove was there all the same. At our baptism into Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we too find peace with God. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens was rent asunder. The heavens were closed to men after the first Adam sinned. Now, when the second Adam is baptized, the heavens are opened to remind us that no longer will we be barred from our eternal home. Straightway. The next straightway, the Spirit driveth him forth into the wilderness. It was not his idea to go and place himself in the pathway of temptation. He was driven by the Spirit. Mark says that not only was the devil there, but there were also wild beasts present. Mark does not explain why this was so, but it does remind us that when the first Adam was tempted in the Garden of Eden, all the animals were there with him. All the animals were tame on that occasion. He had given them all their names, and his relationship with the beast was no problem. Many of us don't have to be driven to temptation. We just naturally gravitate to places where we will be tempted. After this, Mark tells us, Jesus came preaching, saying, "The time is fulfilled." Paul also mentioned this in Galatians when he said, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." It is a well-known fact that the Lord Jesus made his entry into the world in the fullness of time. For one thing, the people of Israel had been scattered all over the Roman Empire. And wherever they went, they established a synagogue. The synagogues provided a natural place for the early evangelists to go to gain a foothold in preaching the word. Then, too, because of Alexander the Great 300 years before, and his efforts to Grecianize the world, most countries at that time understood the Greek language. Early evangelists did not need to go to language school to learn to speak to people in their tongues. Today, missionary recruits have to go to language school to learn how to communicate with the lost. Of course, those who can speak in tongues today don't need to go to language school. Those who can speak in every man's language wherein he was born are indeed blessed. Then again, there was the marvelous system of roads. All roads led to Rome, and they were patrolled. In the city of Rome was a golden spike that symbolized the center of the empire, and all roads led to that spot. Then there was the matter of peace. This was one of the few times in history when peace reigned throughout the world. All of these situations made it the appropriate time for the Lord to come into the world for the best advantage of spreading the gospel. The time was truly fulfilled. Straightway. The next straightway regards the calling of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He saw Peter and Andrew and called them. They straightway followed him. Then he called James and John, and they straightway followed him. Mark tells us Jesus saw these four fishermen. Actually, when he saw these four fishermen, he saw more than four fishermen. He saw four apostles. He saw apostles and men whose names would be inscribed on the foundation wall of heaven, the New Jerusalem. He saw Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost preaching the first gospel sermon on the death, burial, and resurrection. There is a song about David that says, "God looked at a shepherd boy and saw a king." Ladies and gentlemen, what does the Lord see when he sees you? He told Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Jesus would like to make something out of you. It says James and John left the hired servants and followed him. We know that they were partners with Peter and Andrew, so this was a prosperous business venture. They left all to follow Jesus. They left it all behind. They left it all straightway. If we are going to follow Jesus, that's the only way to do it. Straightway. Those who don't follow Jesus straightway may never follow anyway. Look at that again. When the Lord called Peter and Andrew, they left the nets and followed him. Then when the Lord called James and John to follow him, Mark says they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. They left their father. the boat, and the hired servants. It looks like they had a very prosperous business going, so how could they afford to leave all of that behind? Actually, all of us who follow Christ need to leave something behind. Leave sin behind. Leave booze behind. Leave pornography behind. Leave drugs behind. Some folk who claim to be Christians never, never leave anything behind. I have seen hymn books in some churches with a sign on the cover, "Please leave in the building." That sign could be applied to their Christianity and their faith. Leave it behind in the church house when the services are over. Straightway. The next straightway is when he went into the synagogue. He went in straightway. He went in straightway and taught. His teaching was the top priority, straightway. Then straightway there was a man in the synagogue who had an unclean demon. Actually, that is the only kind of demon there is, an unclean demon. All demons are filthy. To say a clean demon is like saying a clean sewer, a clean prostitute, a clean drunkard. There is no such thing as a clean demon. However, sometimes the devil cleans up his act. He appears as an angel of light. The false prophet does not look like an unclean demon. His looks deceive. He is suave and debonair. The false prophet is engaged in a dirty, filthy business. To say that there is no hell is a filthy business. To say that Jesus is not born of the Virgin is a dirty, low-down business. To say that Jesus is not born of the Virgin is the dirtiest, low-down lie that can be told. To say that the resurrection of the Lord never took place is another of the dirtiest, foulest things that can be spoken by the human tongue, the unclean demon. This man, however, probably acted in true character. He cried out, as Jesus taught, "Let us alone." What was the Lord doing? All he was doing, as far as we can figure out, was teaching the word of God. And the devil cries out, "Let us alone." The devil cries out, "Let us alone," when the word of the Lord is taught today. I have heard him cry out many times, "Let us alone." Every time I hear someone comment about too much preaching on the plan of salvation, I hear the devil saying, "Let us alone." In connection with this, he said that Jesus was the Holy One of God. Jesus told him to hold his peace. Jesus told him to shut up. The Lord does not need the devil's advertising. The demon came out crying with a loud voice. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil has a big mouth. The word for loud in Greek here, is the same word we use in English, which means megaphone. Perhaps we would say now a bullhorn. The devil has a big mouth. We need to speak out for the Lord in a loud voice also. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Straightway. The next straightway is in regards to Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick of a fever, and straightway they tell him of her, and he lifted her up, and she was healed. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Peter had a mother-in-law. Some say he put away his wife after he became a follower of Jesus. This, however, contradicts the word of God. In 1 Corinthians 9:5, Paul refers to Peter still being married within a few short years before he died. Yes, Peter had a mother-in-law. Yes, Peter was a married man. Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up. He can lift us, too. We cannot save ourselves by lifting ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We also get a lift in prayer by the Holy Spirit, because we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. With groanings that cannot be uttered, he still lifts us up. In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. After healing her, and many others as well, he went out early the next morning to a desert place to pray. Simon, Peter, and others found him in prayer, and told him, all men seek thee. And he said unto them, let us go elsewhere, into the next town, that I may preach there also. Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast of God is just a prayer away, has that same philosophy. We must go into the next towns and preach there also. Such towns as Moscow, London, Beirut, Baghdad, Vienna, San Antonio, Louisville, Richmond, Cincinnati. We continue to go to the next town to preach the word straightway. The last straightway is in regards to the leper that Jesus healed. Jesus, being moved with compassion, healed him, and straightway the leprosy departed. Many comparisons of physical leprosy and the leprosy of the soul have been noted, but for now we content ourselves with the obvious fact that a leper has to live a separated life. He has to cry out, unclean, unclean. People had an aversion to associating with lepers. We see it today in a spiritual sense. Spiritual lepers just naturally gravitate together. Look at the saloons. They are always together. They seem to want to be together, those who are spiritual lepers. A Christian has an aversion to going into such places. We just naturally want to stay away. May it be that you truly have an aversion to places where spiritual lepers gravitate. Jesus told this leper, see that thou tell no man. But he went out and began to publish it much. Whatever the reason of the Lord may be for telling him to tell no one, the fact is this leper disobeyed a positive command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we might admire his exuberant emotional testimony, he stands in vivid contrast to modern-day people who have been cured of moral leprosy and were commanded to tell the world and then went out and told nobody. Straightway. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these few words in conclusion. The last chapter in Mark chapter 1 is revealing. It says, they came to him from every quarter. It's true today. People come to him from all walks of life. Notice in your congregation, there is an appeal of Jesus to the professional people and the grade school dropouts. They come to him from every quarter. He appeals to the rich and to the poor. He appeals to people in the inner city, and he appeals to people in the suburbs. They come to him from every quarter. He appeals to people in the high places of the land and to the lowest. All can stand side by side at the Lord's table. The ground around the cross is level. They come to him from every quarter. On the day of Pentecost, it was also true. Devout men from every nation under heaven were present to hear the first gospel sermon. They came to hear him from every quarter. The terms of pardon given that day were, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The 3,000 who responded that day came to him from every quarter. The Apostle John saw a vision of the redeemed, a great multitude that no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. They shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And they shall come from every quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.